You're listening to the Mojo Matters podcast, episode 10. Hi, it's Jo Britton here. And just before we get on to the main part of the show, there's something really exciting I want to share with you. My Mojo membership community is launching soon. It's been months in the making and it's my baby. And it's packed with resources, support and community to help you find your mojo and keep it, so that you can achieve what you want to achieve, whether that's health, wealth, or happiness, or all three. I'm opening the waiting list now. If you'd like to be on it, head over to my Instagram profile, jobritton.mojo, and click the link in my bio. Here you'll find a link to the Mojo membership waitlist. That's jobritton.mojo on Instagram, and click the link in my bio to find the Mojo membership waitlist. And now on to the main part of the show. You're listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with me, your host, Jo Britton. Your mojo is your energy, your enthusiasm, and your motivation so that you've got the ability to get results for your personal and professional life without freaking out and burning out. Tune in for practical advice on how to find your mojo and keep it. Welcome back to another episode of Mojo Matters. In this episode today, we'll be talking about intentional resilience, because the ability to recover quickly from difficulties is one of the things that I teach in my Mojo method. And if you've listened to this podcast before, you'll be aware by now that I cover all things Mojo, Mojo being your energy, enthusiasm, and motivation, and your ability to bounce back from setbacks healthily and productively. And I have amazing guests on the show who so generously share their own personal stories of the challenges they've faced and how they've overcome them, with a view to providing inspiration and hope to others that no matter how bad things may get, there is light and hope. So today I have another brilliant guest who walks this talk and practices what she preaches. I'm joined by the inspiring Charlotte Fowles, a former strategic communications high flyer and now coach dubbed the executive adventurer. She's an expert in intentional resilience and in creating triumph from tragedy, having endured over a decade of significant trauma, which has included cancer, multiple miscarriages, and severe depression. And as I said, she really does practice what she preaches. She's hiked alone, unsupported, for days in the US whilst on chemotherapy, has been free diving to 90 feet on just one breath, and has crossed the outback for months in an ancient four-wheel drive. So Charlotte, welcome to the show. I really don't know where you get your energy and resilience from. So I wonder if we could start here by telling us more about what intentional resilience is, why it's important, and maybe more about your own personal story and how that's driven you to bring you to your work on intentional resilience that's helping others in the world.
Well, thanks, Jo. Firstly, hello and hello to the listeners, and thank you for having me. It's an absolute pleasure. So to your point, intentional resilience, it's something I coined in that way, that phrase, because I realized that clearly, as you've alluded to, I've had a lot of personal tragedies and griefs, losses and hardships and all of that. And you know, people do bounce back and you kind of pick yourself up and you go on. But I realized that the reason, you know, the things that were happening more recently in my life, the reason I was able to actually survive and thrive was because I was actually applying these things, which some of which, you know, I use in my work and that we can talk a little bit to today. And I realized that it was that intentional use of strategies and tools that actually enabled me to quite literally stay alive. And I thought, well, this isn't a secret, you know, and people talk a lot about resilience without really maybe knowing what it means. And it's not just about enduring, because as a business owner yourself, you'll know that you need resilience for the good stuff, not just for when you have to pick yourself up off the floor again and again and again. And actually, you don't have to wait for a tragedy in order to get these things in place, build some resilience, increase resilience, so that you have some stuff to draw on if and when things do go a bit south or when tragedy strikes. And so that's why this intentional resilience piece comes from. You know, sometimes we might say it's strategic resilience, and that's about being deliberate about it, being intentional about it, and quite literally sitting down with almost a pen and paper with these tools and strategies and thinking, how is this relevant to me? How can I apply this to my life? And how, if I've got something coming up that I'm looking forward to, it could be a trip or, you know, a business venture or a job, how can I apply this? And what exactly will that look like for me for the next few months?
Great. Okay. So maybe you could explain a little bit more about these tools that you use and how you use them, because I guess you've come to this from the place that you've been in over the last like 10 years, some of the things that have happened that you've experienced. Mm. What were the sorts of tools then that mm-hmm. you've drawn on, and how have you used them? And mm-hmm. how have you, many questions here in one, how have you sort of flipped that into, this mm-hmm. is not something that, as you said earlier, we just do when tragedy strikes, but it's something that we can plan for.
Mm. So yes, I made a note of the questions to make sure I answer all your points there. And I think the one of the first things I'd say would be that this is obviously almost like, if you like, my credentials is my personal experience and my work experience. And then you've got the science-backed stuff that you and I work on with our clients, like as coaches and mentors and to some extent consultants in some areas. You know, we know this stuff works because we use it with our clients, because we have trained in it and we have been taught it. And it's just so happens that I then have personal experience of this working as well. So this is very much a combination of that professional, you know, science-backed knowledge and experience with the personal stuff as well. So in terms of the sort of tools, there's the Strategies for Resilience guide is on my website, and I'm sure you'll share the links to the listeners and people can go and download that. And what I'd recommend, if people do, it's free, is to sit down literally with a pen and paper, read the whole thing through, then go back and read it again and start to write how you may apply these things to your life, and to also know that the power of them is in putting them together. So it's not just like, oh, I'll take maybe that one tool. Without a doubt, that each of the tools in there, and there are 15 tools and points and food for thought, they each may spark a bit of insight or something useful. But it's the combination of these, and that's why I put them together, that work. So remember that when you're listening to this now, and when you go and look at the guide, and when you think about applying it, it's about putting them together and then making that a practice. And it's the sort of consistency part. So that's the first part. In terms of the actual tools, there are things such as, for example, one of the first strategies I talk about is the strategy of support. And we all kind of think, oh, sounds obvious, you know, yeah, okay, support. But actually, we are the average of the people that we spend the most time with. And that's, some people say it's average of 5 people, 3 people, the number doesn't really matter. But when you think how you spend time with people and the people you do talk to, and how that influences you, impacts you, and all that sort of thing, you can actually choose to spend more time with people who will be able to help you in certain ways. That I'm not talking about cutting out other people. I'm just talking about, if you've got a project coming up, if you've got a business thing to launch, if you've got anything you want to do, maybe even starting a family, whatever the kind of good thing is in your life that you want to look at, who is it you need around you? Really think about that. What are the roles that you need your support team to play? That could be cheerleader, that could be, you know, butt kicker, that could be accountability buddy, it could be an emotional support, it could be anything. And some of those, you know, some of those you may be services you might pay for, you know, and that's totally legitimate part of that support as well. And I think it's that intentional looking forwards, sitting down, what's coming up, who do I need? And then one of the other tools in there, which again sounds very obvious, but we often don't do it, is ask. So people love to help. We all are helpers. We're naturally drawn to helping people. So don't just be like, I need these people. You know, perhaps contact them. Well, I'd say definitely contact them. And I'd say, hi, Joe, I'm about to launch this. It's a 6-month thing. I know that I'm going to go through these stages. What I probably could really do with is a bit of this. I think you'd be great at helping me with that. How do you feel about helping? And most people will say yes. Or what do you want me to do? Anything I can do. So ask. You know, like that's a couple of the tools around one of the strategies of support that, and there are 15, so I'm not going to list them all now, but that's a point. And to your point about how have I drawn on them? Somebody asked me recently, what do I think the most important tool is? And like I said, it is about using them all together. And in the guide, I say at the end, the most important tool is the consistency with which you apply these things. But actually, the thing that I think is one of the most helpful, if we had to rank them, would be that support, because no one can do it alone.
Yeah. And I love that you've said that, because I think, I'm not sure which episode it is, but a previous episode, we were talking about exactly those things. And I have a Mojo list and we do tips and things like that. And actually the one today was all about those two points. So it was about choosing, maybe I'd phrased it differently, choosing people who you want to hang around with that may help you have a different perspective, or who have a different energy that, you know, you can draw on. And asking for help was exactly that as well, because I think many of us think that, you know, we should have it all together and we have all the answers ourselves. But often,
not possible.
We're afraid to reach out, aren't we? Yeah, we're a bit afraid. And, you know, for me, sometimes I found that quite difficult. Like, well, what will people think of me if I ask for help? But as you said, it's amazing that the response that you get.
And, you know, you're absolutely right there, your point about that kind of energy and who do I need around me. And that's exactly what I mean. The support isn't just this, this and this. It is sometimes challenge is a great support, because as you all know, we all actually, whether we like to admit it or not, see what we want to see, hear what we want to hear, looking for people to confirm our view of the world. Oh, yeah, I agree with that. That's great. And sometimes what the most useful thing is to somebody not, and I don't mean a devil's advocate kind of, you know, kind of that negativity way, but I mean someone who can just ask you a question, which as we know is why coaching is great, that makes you consider it in a slightly different way, in a way of challenge.
Yes, and for new perspectives and get curious about this stuff. And, you know, there are often things that you wouldn't have thought of that are actually there as a great solution. So can we just go back a step in terms of some of your own experiences? So were these things that you discovered naturally? So taking some of your darkest moments, right? When people are in a dark place, when tragedy strikes, it can be really difficult to think clearly and have that, maybe what we might call the intentional resilience now to move forward. How did you dig deep to kind of get out of that space and start moving forward in a more productive way? Because I'm guessing these tools now, you maybe you were kind of doing these but you hadn't really thought that they were resilience tools, or
Yeah, well, it is interesting, because for a while I didn't kind of own what I'd been doing, and people kept telling me you're so resilient. And this was also developed of people saying, you know, not in an offensive way, but after they hear the last 10 years I had, they're a bit like, how is it even possible that you're still here, let alone that you're still here and being positive and thriving in this sort of in this way? And there's definitely, I was intentional. To, you know, in latter years, I was intentional. I realized that, interestingly, a lot of people go straight to the cancer that I, tomorrow, it's 6 months since I finished my treatment. So that's very exciting. But they go straight to that because it's a very scary concept for many people. And people think this is possibly the worst thing and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not saying it isn't, and it wasn't a picnic, but because it came towards the end of 10 years of unrelenting literally unrelenting, just awful occurrence after awful occurrence. You know, my father dying, my best friend dying at 36, like whilst other people dying around me, I'm having multiple miscarriages, I'm an operation on my womb, my granddad died the same day, I decided to do something positive and do the tough mud of a charity, they had a faulty obstacle, I fell 9 foot and broke my leg, like, you know, it just went on and on and on. Yeah. And then the depression and the fertility stuff and then the cancer. You see, it was just ridiculous. And what I realized was it wasn't the worst thing to me because I've been able to put some of this stuff in place. Yeah. And for sure, when I talk about support, I talk about also about compassion, about knowing what you need. I spent a long time through these processes knowing myself, being compassionate to myself, and actually clearly having been ill and having been through a lot of these tragedies, the therapy and, you know, in a counselling and therapeutic environment was a big part of that. And again, you learn much more about how your mind works and things like that. So you're able to then apply those things. You also sadly learn through these things, not therapy, just who you can and cannot share with. Yeah. And they're sometimes the people that surprise you. And there is no judgment on anybody. Nobody is perfect at this stuff. Everybody says the wrong thing at times. And part of sharing my story in many ways to other people is to explain what is useful and what is not for someone suffering if they're trying to support someone else. And one of my tools around resilience is being careful with your information flow. And by that, I mean, it can cause you pain if you don't get what you need from someone, but you've had the bravery to reach out. That can actually hinder your progress. Yeah. And you can receive a lot of judgment. And especially if it's something positive and you're trying to be brave, when we're taking risks, as you know, which in business is often needed, let alone life, other people, they project their fears onto us and they want to sort of protect themselves and us. And yeah, it can be quite negative. So, there's a lot of that in the street. And I think that point about knowing who you can and cannot reach out to, it doesn't mean you cut them off. It just means maybe they're not so great at that. And you can choose to show them how to support you better or to choose to find someone who already can do that. And that's different for everybody. So I think that's a really interesting part of the journey. But yeah, putting all these things in place intentionally in the last few years, it's 100% intentional, and that's what but it wasn't always. And yet when you add it up, I thought, actually, I can show other people how to do this.
Yeah. And there are a couple of things that strike me about what you've just said there that I think are just so important. One, I think, is around awareness, you know, being aware of yourself. And you were talking about that, and you know, your thoughts and feelings and all of that stuff that goes on, because I think that's incredibly powerful, because that gives you choice, because that was the other thing that you were talking about. I think, you know, I have a amazing coach and mentor, and he has this phrase that sticks with me, which is awareness gives you choice and choice gives you freedom. And it took me a while to get my head around that, but it's massively powerful stuff that we do have, no matter how difficult. A lot of us think, well, I don't have any choice in the matter. But actually, we do get to choose, whether that's the tools that, or the support, or the perspective we have on something, whether we take action or we don't take action. So I love that you've just talked about that as well. Maybe if there is somebody in a situation right now, you know, maybe something that you've experienced, any of those things that you've experienced, or even something else that's giving them real challenge, they think perhaps there's no hope, no way forward. What piece of advice would you give to them right now?
Well, I think the first thing I might advise is, you know, is to find some people who can be for you what you can't be for yourself right now. And whether that's the hopeful person, I don't mean that in a kind of toxic positivity way, but you know, find people and reach out to people, because like I said before, you know, we all living our own version of reality. And it is so often the case that other people don't see it like that because they're seeing something different. Mm-hmm. And we are often, if we're in a really dark place or in a place where we can't see the next day or even the next hour, that's just your reality, and that's not going to be forever. And you don't need someone to tell you those things, but it's kind of to help you along to the next stage. Yeah. You know, to help you to the next bit, whatever that is, whether that's hope, whether that's the next appointment, whether it's the next plan, whatever it might be, it's definitely there. There are so many resources now. And if you don't know where to turn, there are even resources if you don't know where to turn. You know, I mean, Google is great. I don't say that in a lighthearted way. You know, put anything in any of these situations and many, many things come up. And one of the things that I love so much more about these days, as opposed to when I started on a lot of this experiences, is that there's a lot more, for all its detractors, you know, the internet and social media and being able to be connected to people. You can find someone who's almost had the exact same thing as you within seconds.
Yeah.
And that's certainly a place of comfort. People can empathize, but often unless you've been through the same things, they can't understand to the same extent, even if they're the most well-meaning people ever.
Yeah.
And there will be someone there, a total stranger, you know, and sometimes that can be a bit more freeing to reach out to that.
Brilliant, brilliant.
To that sort of person. And way before I was a coach and way before any of this, I do not use my social media like a highlight reel. And I talked about a lot of this stuff very publicly because I knew it's a very lonely place to be in, for example, in grieving for somebody or in a miscarrying many times or feeling like your mind's not your own or, you know, going through a divorce or whatever it might be. There's a lot of shame attached to lots of these things, which prevents sharing. And I thought, that's just not okay. I know for a fact so many people have these things. And many, many, many times, I've lost count of the amount of times, if I shared something, somebody would private message me and said, I may not be able to be as brave as that, but this has helped me remember I'm not alone.
Yeah, brilliant. So how's life right now?
Oh, it's fantastic. And, you know, I am really happy to say that that is the case. You know, I struggle to think how I might be happier, as it were. I have moved to the sea, which is my happy place. You know, a lot of my adventures involve the sea, diving or kayaking or just, you know, being around it. So, and my new adventure is swimming through winter without a wetsuit. So wow. I went in today and I was questioning my life choices as I was scraping the ice off the car this morning and it was 3 degrees. But actually, you know, I remembered as soon as I got into the ocean why I do that. And yeah, so that's amazing. And I made that happen. And I'm really delighted with that. And again, I've had a lot of support along the way, for which I'm incredibly grateful. My health, like I said, 6 months since the end of my chemotherapy, I can't, I'd forgotten what it was like not to be exhausted when I finished my treatment. That was lovely. So I'm enjoying obviously better health, with any luck continued for as long as possible. And yeah, business is great. And I have amazing clients. And I get what I love every day, and it's many things that are worth it. It is hard work, but of a really fantastic sort. So yeah, life is great, and I am grateful every day. That's a practice, by the way, and I know many people talk about gratitude, but it is a practice, and it is part of my resilience, is actually to practice gratitude in a very active way.
Me too. It's amazing, isn't it? And there are some scientific evidence that supports really the benefits of practicing, you know, intentional gratitude every day. So
just to that point, actually, sorry, but I would just like to say that I don't mean that in a very fluffy way, because I think when people hear gratitude, sometimes if you're not in a good place, you can dismiss it as it's not possible, or that you think by being grateful, you're not acknowledging your pain. And what I've said to many people is the two things are not mutually exclusive. So sometimes if you're trying to help somebody through something, telling them to be think about all the things they're grateful for actually isn't that helpful, because you can be extremely grateful and still grief-stricken. You know, you can be very grateful for all you have and still be suffering. And so it's important to remember that it's just a healthy practice to have no matter what you're in, but it doesn't stop those things, but it's still something to attain and hang on to. Sure, and 100% things you need to feel, and don't feel that you're being ungrateful if you're acknowledging your pain, your sadness and your struggles. That's really not what it's about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it helped me enormously when I wasn't in a good place. Just calm, to keep calm. Take some breaths and keep calm. And that doesn't negate what's happened to you whatsoever. It doesn't negate your feelings or emotions. But my gratitude each day when I wasn't in a great place was, I'm grateful my breath is breathing itself. And it was literally that at that point. And that for me had such a big, big positive effect on me being able to take another little step forward when I thought there was no hope. So I absolutely hear what you're saying. I think, you know, gratitude isn't, I used to think it was quite a fluffy thing, and I don't, but it isn't, you know. So how can people find you? How can they connect with you, Charlotte?
Well, the realest way, you know, as I said, my social media is not a highlights reel. It's just me being a human. I'm on Instagram at fowls.charlotte, but and clearly that is linked to my professional website, which is charlottefowls.com, where you will find Resilience Guide, which you may download free, and you'll find ways to contact me on there to get in touch, whether that's for a 15-minute chat to talk about how I might be able to help your organization through resilience trainings or talks, because I do what I call inspiration with application. So it's talks around things that I've been through, but actually through the lens of giving people practical stuff they can use. So whether that's that, or whether that's exploring one-to-one coaching, that's all on the website there as well.
Amazing. You are such an inspiration. You are remarkable. Thank you so much for coming on Mojo Matters.
Thank you so much. That's very, very kind of you, Jo, and thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with Jo Britton. Tune in again for more practical advice on how to find your mojo and how to keep it.